And I'll say this, it was entertaining. It was definitely entertaining. Now, the Patriots end up losing this game 33-26. But, and I've said it many times, Arkan, where I would much rather have a good offense of team, like a normal-looking NFL offense team, struggle on defense, because at least it's an entertaining game. We can dive in how the defense improves. But I thought this was more entertaining with the loss than beating the Jets 10-3. Like, sitting and watching it as a fan, just entertainment, even though you lose this football game.
I'd say every Turkey Bowl game in Massachusetts was more entertaining than the Jets and the Patriots.
Oh, my God, except for Framingham Natick.
In the 10-3 game. I don't know how that
understand.
One went. But either way, you're right. I mean, that was in my – I'm sort of – I find myself this morning kind of split between disappointed that they lost and that they're now out of the playoff picture, only by a little bit, but they're still on the outside looking in right now. That was a winnable game.
Yep.
It was a winnable game against a good team.
Yep.
I feel like the defense has been exposed a little bit, but big picture, they needed a game like this. Mac Jones needed a game like this. The franchise needed it. You may not be talking about a playoff team this year, but you also now get to at least – push off the conversation of, well, what are they going to do about the quarterback next season? I don't get to talk about Bailey Zappe today.
Yeah.
All right? I promised I'd stop.
Fourier's so upset he's not in here today to kind of slap you and I around about Zappe. But this is what you've been waiting for.
It's true.
Like, you know, I love it because people are like, oh, what do you think of him now? And it's like, it's a career game for him.
It was a great game.
It was like a career game for him. He was fantastic in this game.
Right.
And you can nitpick. There's a couple things. You know what I mean? Not, you know, taking the sack, not throwing it away. We'll get into a lot of these details. But he was absolutely fantastic in this game. So if you want to call up and be the whole, I told you he's great, then be my guest. We're here for you all day. By the way, the only place you could talk Pats and Vikings is right here, Maloney, Forey, and Mago on WEEI. Give us a call, 617-779-7937. We could talk about this game all day long. So your takeaway is more of like just finally saw something from the offensive side, right?
And that's a big deal. And I think big picture, that's the main thing to take away from this. But small picture, looking at what really happened just in that game alone and what that means for this season – I think the defense looks a lot – if this defense yesterday was trying to sort of shed the idea that they disappear in the second half and that they only beat up on bad teams and bad quarterbacks, that was a terrible start to that campaign. I mean, it really was. Matthew Judon, just like last year, you didn't see much of him in that game. I think Uche had a sack like in the first quarter, and other than that, there was no pass rush at all. Justin Jefferson's going to get you fine, but you got to be able to get to Kirk Cousins. They were missing their starting left tackle, and I felt like the Patriots' defense didn't show up really for many, many stretches.
We knew that secondary was going to be tested. You know, we said, what's it going to be like when you're going up against, you know, Justin Jefferson, Hawkinson, Thielen as number two, Dalvin Cook, and it's like defense is going to be tested. But you sat there and said, well, the Cowboys sacked him seven times, Kirk Cousins, on Sunday, and the Patriots have a similar defensive approach. They're second in the league in sacks behind the Dallas Cowboys. So that's where the pressure comes from. You know, and you saw the pressure basically on the interception that Cousins threw. You know, they put pressure on him, got his feet moving, he's moving back. Awful throw from Cousins.
Yeah.
And you got the pick. You wanted to see more of that, you didn't. My takeaway from this was more of a big picture looking at it. Again, very entertaining game. And I actually feel better about the offense, you know, and this team in general. But what was evident to me was that this football team, you know, with this group of players and this group of coaches, and I'm not, you know, Bill Belichick, listen, he's the best coach in the league, but what's around him coaching-wise and how they go about their business – it seems like this team is not capable of winning these types of games anymore. Again, the attention to detail used to matter. Like, when we sit there and we bitch about, you know, Hunter Henry not going out of bounds,
right. People
can call up and say, well, how do you put that on coaching? You know, the guy's been in the league a long time, he needs to go out of bounds. Okay. But when other teams used to do that, we used to call them dumb football teams. When other teams used to call it costly penalties that continue drives, and the Patriots score a touchdown because of the stupid penalty, we call it a dumb football team.
They'd never get away with that in New England with
call
Bill.
It a poorly coached football team.
Right.
And what we've seen from this team the last two or three years, you get in a game like this, and it's almost like they're surprised to be in it and don't know how to react. I feel like the fourth quarter, the game sped up on them. They were fantastic for three. Not perfect. You know, and a lot of the Paul's calls are stupid plays, but still, they were in it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fourth quarter, and the only other game that reminded me of this year because it looked like a normal NFL football game was the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
When they're in a tight game in the fourth quarter, and their last three drives, Arkan, were interception, fumble, interception. You're like, holy smokes. They just threw up on themselves in the fourth. Get into a tight game against a good football team where teams are going up and down the field, and they don't do the little things. They don't know how to do those anymore to win the game. And that was frustrating. And maybe this group needs to learn how to do that again. I know Bill knows how to do that, right? But does this group know how to do that?
Yeah, Coaches
included.
Situational football was the hallmark of this team.
Used to be.
This group and sort of what they were about, and they would practice all these different scenarios and always be ready for whatever came up. And it just sort of seems like these days, and it sort of started last year, I think. I think you're sort of onto something with this, because last year, you remember they took the ball out of Mac's hands a lot at the end of games. They'd kick, or they'd, you know, try a field goal, or they'd punt it back and let the other
why
team.
Why aren't they going for it? Don't
why
they
aren't
trust
they letting
them?
Mac try on fourth down? Why aren't they letting him take a shot in the end zone?
Right.
Why aren't they letting him unleash it a little bit here? And, you know, I mean, for a rookie quarterback, you kind of understood it, but he's not a rookie quarterback anymore, and I feel like he doesn't have that experience, and you're seeing, even in a game where he plays well, in a game where he can't get the offense running, I don't expect him to lead some game-winning touchdown drive. But in a game like that, where he had a pocket, where he was able to sort of go through his progressions and his hitches and all that other stuff and, you know, scan the field and pick out his receivers and really, for the first three quarters of that game, look like a top 10, top 15 NFL quarterback, which he did, then you see a different guy. You see the Mac Jones that we saw last year. You see, you know, something to build off of from there. He's still not quite where you want him to be yet, because you're right. He's not a guy that you hand the ball to and say, win this game for us, Mac.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
And when you're in games like that, where you kind of need to match the scoring, you know, and you're sort of allowing a guy like Mac to kind of do what he did yesterday, the results just haven't been there. I saw this tweet, it was Boston Sports Info, which is just, it's bizarre, but it tells you how Bill Belichick, you know, over the last 2 years has been trying to win football games. When Mac Jones, Boston Sports Info tweeted this, when Mac Jones throws for over 260 yards in a game, okay, over 260, this team is 2-7.
That's wild.
Now, when he throws under 260, they're 12-4. So what that tells you is, like, first off, we can get into the whole, you know, some of those teams, when you're throwing for yards and you're losing, it's because you're going against good football teams, and you've got to kind of pick it up offensively. And he's got to throw the ball, and he's going to throw for 300 yards or over 260. They don't want to win like that. They'd rather win like they won last week. And for the majority, when you look at the last 2 years, maybe even 3 years, those are the teams they're beating. The teams where Mac doesn't have to throw the ball, because you're going to rely on Sam Ehlinger, and you're going to rely on Zach Wilson, and you're going to rely on Mitchell Trubisky, you know, and you're going to rely on these quarterbacks to just throw up all over themselves. And you're like, just, we don't want it. But when we get into this type of dogfight game, that's a real NFL game that you got to win to be a good football team, they don't know how to do it. And that was probably my biggest takeaway from this game. Because didn't it look like the game sped up on themselves, on them?
In the fourth quarter? They didn't score in the fourth.
Three and out. Taking sacks.
And that wasn't happening to Minnesota. Minnesota answered back from it wasn't a touchdown. The Hunter Henry overturn, it was a field goal. They responded to that with a field goal drive and then a touchdown drive. You went three and out twice. And that was the difference in the game right there. I mean, there's, you know, other factors that happen, but you want to talk about where things turned and where you couldn't answer the bell. That was it. It was that part of the fourth quarter where you just came up small.
I mean, you look at it, 3rd and 12, Judon, you know, makes it 3rd and 7. They end up getting a first down and scoring. Hunter Henry doesn't get out. End of the first half was awful.
Yeah.
Henry doesn't get out of bounds. They
Mac's
burn
little
a timeout.
Slide in the
Mac
middle there.
Slides,
horrible,
takes a sack, calls a timeout right away. Instead, he could have just thrown it to the feet of anybody or thrown it in the end zone. You know, and they don't have enough time to go for a touchdown when they really should have had two timeouts in their pocket. The kickoff return, obviously, for a touchdown. Pierre Strong running into the kicker. You know, then you got Trent Brown trying to chop block Danielle Hunter. Now, on a five-step drop where they're trying to throw the ball downfield, just stupid things. Face masks twice from Jonathan Jones. Just the things that we used to look at as Patriot fans and laugh at other teams and say they're poorly coached. Those teams don't know how to win yet. Patriots don't make those mistakes. And I think when you get in these games recently, the last few years, you're starting to see you're one of those teams that actually are making those mistakes. All right, we got a lot to get to here today. Obviously, your calls. You guys are already lined up. You want to talk about it as well. Tom E. Curran, he's going to join us at 4:30, get his thoughts on this game. But, of course, we're going to talk about the officiating next. We got to talk about the Hunter Henry catch, no catch. We got to get into some of the officials, because I do think they affected it, even though the Patriots didn't play well enough to deserve any kind of breaks.